The Education and Training Show on Stray FM.
With Harrogate College. Your career starts here with Harrogate College.
Oh, hi. Welcome to our brand new free podcast of Stray FM's Education and Training Show. This programme goes out on the air, on the radio, Wednesday night, 7 o'clock. On Stray FM, on FM, on DAB Digital Radio, online and on our apps as well. We always make the whole thing available as a podcast. So here's what's coming up over the next half an hour or so. If you've got young children, or you could be an auntie or uncle or godparent to young children, or recently become a grandparent, what to do if a child is choking? We've got first aid expert and all-round good egg, Ruth Watson, joining us in a few minutes' time. Also, do you fancy, maybe this could be your thing for spring or summer, learning something new, getting a new string to your bow? We're going to hear all about some fab courses and how they work at Rosset Adult Education. That's really interesting. But first, cooking curries at Harrogate College.
Harrogate College on Stray FM's Education and Training Show.
My name's Chris Walsh. I'm a food lecturer at Harrogate College.
Okay, so Chris, tell us about A Taste of India.
Taste of India is a little six-week course that we're doing. You basically cook around 30 different Indian dishes, all fresh-made. It's a little 6 weeks, £180. And you're getting, basically the idea behind it is to take away the takeaway, getting people back into the kitchens and cooking fresh food and getting away on the Saturday night all the oily food and unhealthy food that they have to eat.
I like a takeaway, so can you teach me to cook Indian food better than from my local takeaway?
On par, if not better, definitely, and a lot healthier.
Well, there's a challenge. So what is the difference then? How come it's healthier?
It's just the amount of oil that you use. We're using flavoured ghees. All fresh ingredients that we're using, so and basically making the basic curry sauce, which all the curries are made from, and then adapting them with the different spices and different flavours.
I could talk about takeaways all night as well. So give us something to just tickle our taste buds. Tell us some of the dishes that we're going to be learning to cook on this course, Chris. Give us a little tease of some of the dishes.
Okay, a couple of the main courses that we'll be doing. We're going to do a chicken curry, which is a basic chicken curry. We're going to do chicken del piazza, which is double onion. We're going to be doing a lampa sanda, which is like a fruit flavoured and cream. We've also got lamb keema pea starters. We've got gobi pakoras, Sikh kebabs, sweets. We're going to be doing peanut chicky, which is like a peanut brittle. We're going to be doing candied lychee and mango, carrot kheer, which is like a peanut-y, carrot-y, puree, spiced dessert, all fresh, all nice, to get taste buds going.
Right, what skill level does somebody have to be at? How good at teaching novices are you?
They don't really have to have a skill as such, but just an interest in cooking would be fantastic. Somebody that knows a little bit about using knives and has got a general interest in cooking. But anybody come along, there's no real age limit as such, but anybody, novices to professionals. We've even had somebody from Sri Lanka ring up wanting to come on the course. And you're like,
it's a bit of a commute.
Yeah.
So, I imagine there's good, when people come on these courses as well, there's quite a good camaraderie between all the people who come and join in.
Definitely. It's meeting new friendships, drinking partners afterwards, you know, and socialising, getting people out of the house, getting them into the community. And this is what we're all about over at college, getting people back into that community and getting them excited about food, and then even going on to different courses and becoming professional chefs, you never know.
Well, I can tell from the way you're talking about it, Chris, that you're pretty excited about it. So it's obviously a good challenge for you guys at the college as well.
Yeah, I love it. Indian food's probably my favourite food that I like doing. I've worked in an Indian restaurant. I've been out to India as well. And the food that you get out in India is nothing like you get over here in takeaways. It's all about the regions, different spices, different methods. It's not just about heat and slop that sometimes you get when you order your takeaway.
Well, look, thank you so much for telling us about it. Taste of India course, £180, 6 weeks at Harrogate College. Thank you, Chris.
Thank you very much.
Okay, so now Grace is going to tell us a bit about the bread making course. This is again 6 weeks, £180, Harrogate College. What happens on the course, Grace?
So our pastry, bread and baking leisure course is going to be a great opportunity for people to come along and learn different skills and techniques and recipes to allow you to amaze your friends and family at dinner parties and things like that.
And it's all a bit inspired by the Great British Bake Off, isn't it?
Absolutely. And in the final week, week six, in fact, we do the Great Harrogate College Bake Off.
Ah.
See what we did. So everyone can take part in the competition and show off their new skills and recipes.
And can you teach anybody anything with this? Is it fair to say if you're a novice or you've got a bit more expertise, you'll get something out of it?
I don't think I can teach anybody anything. I'm sure Mark, the tutor, absolutely can,
sure someone can.
Teach anybody. There is no age range, no minimum age. Just anyone with a keen interest in baking who maybe has got the kids dropping them off at school, come along, come learn how to do some pastry, sweet pastry, fruit scones, rum bar bars, drizzle cakes, all sorts of things that we're going to be doing.
And if we've heard this and we're interested, what's the best way to find out more?
Visit the website, so it's harrogate.ac.uk, or pop in, or call 01423 878 211. And it's £180 for 6 weeks.
Fantastic. Thank you, Grace.
Thank you.
We've got a couple of courses that we're going to be running. One's an introduction to woodworking, which is basically somebody who's got no woodworking skills at all, or for people who have got a small degree of woodworking skills. Come along on a Tuesday evening from 6 till 9, and then basically you're going to learn some introduction to woodworking using power tools, that kind of stuff, and moving on to eventually build a small piece of furniture at the end of the course. 8 weeks long, so a good chance for people to come along and get an introduction into the world of woodworking.
Fantastic. What kind of things like on the course would you be doing?
Well, they'll learn about hand tools, the use of small hand tools, the use of power tools. So again, if people want to put up shelves, that type of technique, they'll learn about the use of those tools. They'll progress onto the different types of joints that are used in the joinery area, and then again progressing through to build a small piece of furniture at the end of the course. They'll take something home with them. So it's basically an introduction into the woodworking skills, different types of finishes, glues, and that kind of stuff as well.
And what kind of people do you expect to come on the course? Who's it aimed at?
Well, it's aimed at everybody. Anybody from, 16-year-old, wants to, maybe have a try about looking at woodwork, to people who are older, who want to try something completely different. I've got people who are maybe looking at a change of career, so they're looking to come along and learn some skills. So a range from everybody. The course is open to everybody to come along and try and see if they enjoy it.
Fantastic. How much would this course set somebody
back?
The
course is going to be £200. So the course will cost £200. And again, that's including all your materials and resources that are required for you to complete the course.
Mark, what's the other course?
The other course, we've got a welding course. It's an introduction to MIG welding. Again, it's the most versatile part of welding to use. It's the most common one that's used out there in the workplace. Again, that's going to be a 12-session course. So again, starting soon, so that's going to come up on a Monday evening, 6 o'clock till 9 o'clock. Again, you're going to understand the health and safety issues surrounding welding, going on to produce 5 different types of welding joints, and there's a degree of work to finish off as well to pass the course for that. It's a level 1 qualification. Aimed at anybody wants from a hobbyist who wants to learn a little bit about welding to somebody who does maybe small car repairs and like to understand, and get a qualification, because it's a full level 1, is this, so they'll get a qualification in the welding for that one.
The course that we're offering is an introduction to complementary therapies. It's going to be run starting Friday the 12th of April, and it will run for 6 weeks for 3 hours, starting at 10 a.m. till 1 p.m. in the afternoon. It's going to be a mostly practical course, but with some theory elements as well. And by the end of the course, the person will be able to give a mini treatment in massage, aromatherapy and reflexology. So during the course, they'll learn the basics of massage and be able to give a mini treatment in that, and also learn how to blend aromatherapy oils so they can apply those to massage. And they will also learn the basics of reflexology. So again, they can just tie all of that in. And it's really for people who are interested in complementary therapies, but who might not want to commit to a full-time course at the moment, and who are maybe just thinking about whether they'd like to do that or not. And just generally for people with an interest in holistic therapies. The theory side of it will be tying in a little bit of anatomy and physiology, some of the muscles, and saying why they would do a certain movement and what effect it would have on the body. And also looking at a bit of the background of massage and complementary therapy and Eastern philosophies, and then just tying that all in. And the cost of it is going to be £120. And again, that's for the full 6 weeks, including all the materials and the oils and anything that's going to be used.
Harrogate College on Stray FM's Education and Training Show.
All the details on the Harrogate College website to find out all about their courses. Now, if cooking isn't your thing, if you'd like to try a different kind of course and give up a little bit of time every week to learn something new throughout the spring or summer, maybe Rosset Adult Learners have something for you.
Rosset Adult Learning on Stray FM's Education and Training Show.
We are based at Rosset School, and we offer around 130 adult learning courses to everybody in the area. We've even got people coming from Bradford, Leeds, Thirsk, all around the area. And our, I guess, unique proposition is that we're learning for pleasure courses. We don't test you, we don't offer accreditation. It's literally very traditional learning for pleasure classes.
Yes, so if you went to a different college, for example, they might say to you, oh, this is great, come and get an MVQ or whatever, which does add a certain amount of pressure to your learning, doesn't it? You know, you're thinking, oh, I've got to pass this test at the end of it.
Yeah, there's a place for those kinds of courses.
Absolutely.
Obviously, if you're returning to work, you want to get some kind of accredited course, then yes, you know, you can go to Harrogate College or any of the other classes. But ours are about learning for fun.
Yes.
You know, following an interest that you might have, or even just learning something completely new.
Now, there's a huge array of courses of all different categories. So we've got art and design, health and exercise, digital courses, general interest courses, and language courses. And I think we should start with language courses, because a lot of people are probably looking at the snow that we've had over the last couple of weeks and thinking, do you know what? I need to get somewhere sunnier. And one of the great things that it says here is learning holiday Spanish, holiday Italian, or holiday French.
So basically, you can learn all the useful phrases that you might need when you're going on holiday. It's a bit like a phrase book, but you're attending a course. And you might learn a little bit about the culture of the country, how to read a menu, a range of useful phrases, basically.
This is great, because this arms us against being that stereotypical Briton on holiday, doesn't it? Where we go, yeah, I've learned the language, it's fine. I've learned dos cerveza, por favor.
A pint of Milko.
Yes. One pint, and if what's the classic British thing? If they don't understand it, I'll do it again, just louder and
just
slower.
Louder. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it does, and it gives you a little bit of confidence, I guess, when you're going to a new country. And what we find is that people are coming on the holiday classes actually realise that they quite like learning the language, and then we'll go on to join a beginner's class later on, maybe in the autumn.
Some holiday classes which complement your kind of more in-depth classes, because you can go on and learn the language for a longer period if you want
to. Yeah, we have people who've been learning for 8 or 9 years. You know, we have proficient speakers, often second homeowners, people like that.
So moving away from languages then, I thought we'd have a look at some of these health and exercise and wellbeing classes. So you offer the courses you might expect to find under those headings, things like Pilates, yoga, Zumba, Tai Chi, and even hula fitness, which sounds brilliant. There's some ballroom dancing in there as well. But one really caught my eye here. You know where I'm going with this, don't you, Melissa?
I do.
Mindful origami. What's mindful origami?
Well, everybody's, I think, probably heard of the new buzzword mindfulness. So we've been holding mindfulness courses for quite a while now, and lots of people have been really enjoying them, just because it's helped them in their day-to-day life, whatever issues they might have in the background. And I guess most people have seen mindful colouring books. So we've leapfrogged mindful colouring, because actually that's last year's news, and we're doing mindful origami. Which apparently they're all doing down south.
If the southerners are doing it.
absolutely. So our Tai Chi master is actually teaching mindful origami, because he's also an origami master. It's new on our programme, and let's see how well it goes.
Very quickly, we're just going to touch very quickly on some of your technology courses you offer as well. You offer lots of courses in various skills in technology, from real basic things about how to use maybe a gadget. Particularly your Daycombe classes I've seen here. I know lots of people. My gran is one of these people who was convinced by her son to have a smartphone.
Yeah.
absolutely, she was like, I don't know if I really want one. He said, no, you can't have that brick anymore. You've got to have a smartphone. She's got no idea how to use it, but you offer courses that cater for that kind of thing.
Absolutely, yeah, yeah. So we do Apple technology classes, and we also do Android technology classes. So if you've got a Samsung, you can come along and learn how to use your Samsung phone, or if you've got an iPad, you can come along and learn to do that. And actually, we do get quite a few people who keep coming on the beginner's class over and over again, because it just takes a little bit of time, yeah, and a little bit of encouragement to learn to use those technologies. But we also offer next stage. So you might have learnt, you know, had the first steps of learning how to use an iPad, but actually you want to learn how to download apps, or, you know, start using your technology a bit further.
So very quickly, finally, it's not just the practical courses that we've got where you can learn how to use your skills. You can also learn how to appreciate the skills of others, effectively. We've got courses here in film studies and in photography appreciation.
That's right. These are really interesting classes. So the photography appreciation isn't about taking photos. It's about understanding photos that have been taken, you know, in their historical context, in their context, in their art context. Everybody knows the famous Vietnam picture, you know, the photograph of the little girl.
Yes, I think I do.
there's a famous photograph of a little girl running away from a bunch of soldiers.
Right.
And actually, the context of that photograph is completely different when you see it in the wider view of it.
Yes, that's important, isn't it? Sometimes people can take different...
At face value, you
can take things out. Yeah, exactly that. You know, a crop of a photo can be very different to... Or a photo taken at one instant can be very different to one taken 10 seconds later.
Exactly. So this photography appreciation class, if you're interested in that kind of thing, it would be really interesting. It's run by a photographer who also studied the history of art of photography at college, and it'll be a good one.
If you want to find out more about the courses at Rossett Adult Learning, you can go to the website. It's just rossettschool.co.uk/adult learning. You're on Twitter as well, aren't you, Melissa?
We are on Twitter, yep. Yeah, that's at Rossett Adult.
Rossett Adult Learning on Stray FM's Education and Training Show.
So it's the Education and Training Show podcast from Stray FM, and there's always something for everyone on the podcast. Now, if you are a parent to younger children, or maybe recently become a grandparent, or you look after younger children, we've got some expert advice for what to do if a child is choking that you're looking after. So first aid, local first aid expert and all-round good egg, Ruth Watson is here to tell us more.
Watson Training Services on Stray FM's Education and Training Show.
Yeah, Millie, unfortunately, Millie passed away in October 2012 from choking in her nursery setting, which was obviously very sad. And there's been a few more over the last, you know, 18, 12 months where it's come more to light. So I think a bit more awareness and a bit more education on it will be brilliant for parents.
Absolutely. And of course, the biggest story in the media of recent times was the poor boy who lost his life at a well-known pizza restaurant after choking on a grape up there, which was all over the news and got a lot of people talking about this very issue. So we thought, first time we have you on the show, Ruth, this would be a very important topic to listen to and to talk about. So by the end of this chat here, hopefully you'll have something you can take away. So if the worst ever does happen, it could be vital, and there will be about 40 seconds to a minute of this piece that you could take away. And if you take away nothing else, take that away, because it could ultimately could be something that helps save a child's life in the future.
Yeah, it's not just the younger children either. UK statistics actually say that 29,000 under 15s are admitted to A&E each year after choking on something other than food. So non-toxic items as well, you know, things like coins and bits of plastic, things that you could just pick up off the floor,
yeah,
or have around, you know, in your bedroom or in the car or something like that. You know, this happens every day, and it actually works out. It's 80 people per day are admitted to hospital. Yeah, that's what the UK statistics say.
Wow. 80 a day, that's huge.
Yeah, it works out to about 80 a day are admitted to hospital for something for this reason. So if we can educate, or, you know, encourage parents to learn that little bit more, it may take those numbers down, obviously, which will be a huge benefit.
And there's also some statistics here. Ruth, on her website, which is watsontrainingservices.co.uk, has a PDF you can download with choking prevention advice, particularly centered around food. And there's a statistic on here that says almost 90% of children who die from choking are under the age of four. So particularly younger children are ones we really need to look at, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. I mean, the younger ones under five, they are more at risk to choking incidents because of their inquisitive nature. You know, they like to pick up things, they like to put things in their mouth, and they don't obviously realise at such a young age that there can be some serious consequences for putting things like that in their mouth.
Oh, absolutely.
So, you know, and babies especially, yes, their airway is a lot narrower, you know, and they don't have full sets of teeth. So when they are chewing foods, for example, there's nothing there, obviously, to break it down. So with them being or having a narrow airway, it makes it more dangerous for them as well. So under fives are the kind of ones that we look at more.
I have an 8-month-old little boy, and he, everything goes in his mouth. Yeah. Doesn't matter what it is, it's in his mouth. So yeah, you do have to keep a real eye on it. Now, there's some simple, easy things that you can do with food particularly that can help prevent an episode of choking, isn't there?
There is, yeah. I mean, the most common one that everyone talks about at the minute is grapes.
Yes.
And I know everyone's aware of it in preschools, in nurseries, and in schools. People are talking more about the grape because it has been the food that has been brought to light over the last few months with these incidents.
That story we talked about in the pizza restaurant was a grape from the salad bar, wasn't it?
It was, yeah. And I think, you know, changing the shape of the food before you put it into a young person's mouth will inevitably help it go down a lot quicker or from getting stuck. The kind of rule is at the minute, or the general thing that people are wanting to do, is to quarter or slice it lengthways. We don't slice it in half, we slice it lengthways. By doing that, it changes the shape of the food, which will hopefully stop it from getting lodged in the airway, making it go down a lot easier. Or if it does need to be removed via a back slap or an abdominal thrust, it will come out a lot easier that way. Other things like carrots as well. You know, for years and years we've cut them into rounds, but now we're trying to cut them into batons to make them longer rather than the full circles, which can get lodged in the airway. So there's some interesting stuff on there that you can learn to change the shape of your food to make it easier for it to go down or for it to come out if it does get lodged in there.
Absolutely. And there are other foods on these lists as well, just to keep an eye on. Things with small or dry or hard to chew,
yeah,
and also things that are, that don't break down. So I know, for example, my little boy will eat some little snacks there, but if he has crisp type snacks, they're the ones that kind of dissolve in his mouth to stop the crate. But
yeah,
crisps is something that is on the list as something that can, it's hard to break down, isn't it?
It is, yeah. And a popcorn is another one. Obviously popcorn's quite a dry food, and once it does enter the airway, it can get stuck quite easily. You know, boiled sweets and things like that as well, they're ones that can cause an issue in the airway if they were to be swallowed whole. So there's quite a lot of things on there that, you know, can be a danger, but if we could change the shape of them before they go in, it would make life a little easier for us if we were trying to remove them.
Absolutely. There's other things you can do as well, like cooking foods to make them soft.
Yeah.
So carrots and things are a good example of that, aren't they?
Yeah, obviously, you know, cooking a carrot is for a mealtime is something we would normally do as a snack. Cooking it obviously can be a bit of an issue for people if you're just wanting a quick and easy snack, hence the reason we cut them into batons rather than cutting them and then having to cook them, you know, cutting them differently rather than having to cook them soft is an easier and quick option for parents who may just want that quick, easy snack. But cooking a vegetable to within an inch of its life, obviously, you do lose the nutrition,
yes,
side of it as well. So it's
balancing that out.
It is
it?
Definitely, yeah.
But of course, the most important thing when it comes to choking is obviously supervision, isn't it?
Yeah, I think nothing can detract away from the supervision side of it. Yes, we can change the shape of our food. Yes, we can cook it differently. And yes, we can manage what we feed our children. But supervision for those under fives is something that we really need to do as well. Just to be there in the event an emergency situation does happen, the quicker you can deal with it, the quicker the recovery time of that casualty. So if we are there, we can jump to it straight away rather than not being around when it does happen and something more serious does occur.
And equally, you know, you can probably spot a potential problem, you know, if it's a non-food item, for example, you can hopefully, with good supervision, you'll spot that it's about to go in the mouth and you can hopefully prevent that from the first place.
Yeah, hopefully. Children are quite cunning though.
They are, aren't they?
Little ones,
yeah.
You know, you never know what's going in the mouth and what they're picking up off the floor. And, you know, parents can't be there every second watching the child. If you're rushing around doing other things, you know, there has to be that the balance between the two as well. So, you know, these things do happen.
This could be the most important information you hear in that situation. So really, I encourage you to pay attention.
First of all, it's really important to keep calm. Take a deep breath and try and stay calm at all times while you're doing this. I know that's really difficult if it's a child, but it will help you. First of all, we need to try and encourage the child to cough. So ask them to cough, lean them over while we're doing this, and hopefully that should remove the obstruction. If they can cough, there is air coming in and out. So hopefully that means that it's going to be quick enough to remove the obstruction. Next, we need to squeeze it out. So if the back blows haven't worked, try giving them 5 abdominal thrusts. To do this, you need to stand behind the child, making sure they are bending well forward. Link your hands between the tummy button and the bottom of the chest with the lower hand clenched into a fist. Then you need to pull sharply inwards and upwards. And we do this up to 5 times. You know, if the obstruction comes out after the first one or two, we obviously stop. But we do try to do this for 5 times. We then need to repeat the steps. So if the obstruction is still in place, we would go back to 5 back slaps. And we would continue with 5 abdominal thrusts until the obstruction hadn't come clear. One thing I would say is really important, though, if you haven't got your obstruction out after the first couple of times of giving the back slaps or the abdominal thrust, you must summon an ambulance. You know, it's really important to get help on the way to you if this obstruction isn't coming clear. The quicker we can get emergency help to them, you know, hopefully the situation will you know, stop there. So to round it up, we cough it out, we slap it out, and we squeeze it out. As of April this year, preschools, nurseries will be able to apply for what's called the Millie's Mark. The Millie's Mark is a new award that a nursery or preschool can achieve when 100% of their staff are qualified in paediatric first aid. That means to parents or carers looking for a nursery or preschool or who already have children in a setting will have that extra bit of confidence that the staff know fully what to do in the event an emergency situation arises with their child.
Watson Training Services on Stray FM's Education and Training Show.
So thank you to Ruth Watson for joining us on the Education and Training Show podcast here on Stray FM with Harrogate College. The programme is back next Wednesday on the air on Stray FM from 7 o'clock. And our podcast will be available next Wednesday afternoon as well at strayfm.com.